doing on the neutrophying thing. Do you mind sharing that story?
Great, I'm happy to. So the body, you know, I mean, let's face it, right? Crap in the air, crap in the food, crap in the water. Life's a great big bowl of stress. It is. The human body has the ability to handle that stress, but the human body needs nutrients in order to do the job. Your liver is one of your body's main organs of detoxification. You drink tequila añejo, and that's a toxin to the body. The liver deconstructs it and makes it so that it does not kill you. You walk down the street, you breathe in carbon monoxide from the automobile that just drove by. There's crap in the body that the liver deconstructs so it does not hurt you. If you took all of the nicotine that's in one cigarette, if you distilled all of the nicotine in one cigarette and consumed it all at once, it would kill you. But when you smoke a cigarette over, I don't know, I'm not a smoker, what, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, a little bit of nicotine goes in, your liver deconstructs it. A little bit goes in, your liver deconstructs it. It can handle it a little bit at a time. But your liver, your body needs nutrients in order to handle that. Your liver can't detoxify things through using pixie dust. It needs nutrients. What do most people, what does everybody who are not in longevity not have in their bodies? Nutrients. So if you get on a detoxification kick, what happens? Well, you burn fat, you liberate toxins into the bloodstream, because most of the toxins that enter the body are fat soluble. So if your body doesn't have the wherewithal to handle that, it'll stick that crap in fat in order to keep you alive. So you get on a weight loss kick, you get on a detoxification kick, you burn fat, you liberate the toxins, they're in your circulation now. Where do they go? They go into the liver. It's the liver's job to break them apart so that you don't die. But the liver needs nutrients to do that. You're nutrient deficient. So if you detoxify before you nutrify, it's like stirring up a hornet's nest. Friend of mine, when I was in naturopathic medical school, he was the husband of a good friend of my wife at the time. And he was a very staunch Christian, right? I mean, this guy was into Christianity. He went into the woods and did a 40-day water fast like Christ, right? Good for JC, good for me. 40 days of just water in the woods. 1 month after he did the 40-day water fast, he developed leukemia, and he was dead within a year and a half. Now, why did that happen? Because he detoxified without nutrifying, and that is a recipe for disaster. So, detoxification is awesomely good. It's important, it's necessary, it's vital. But first, you must nutrify. Nutrify, 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 and then detoxify. I've had three remarkable healings in my life. Three remarkable healings. Two of them were with detoxification programs. Detoxification is awesome. But you must be careful because you're playing with fire, right? And, you know, a little bit of knowledge goes a long way in this regard. And honestly, the great irony here, from my point of view, is the stuff that most people need to know in order to, like, have a long and healthy life is simple stuff. This is not rocket science. This is not quantum physics. It's easy, simple things, but we haven't been taught it. It's not in the mainstream. It's definitely not in academia. The only place, interestingly enough, that you're going to get it now is at longevity. And this is why longevity is so freaking awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So now I hope this answers your question that you send all the time. Whether it's detoxifying or whether it's some other program that somebody told you about, and your question is Jeevers or Steve, or should they told me that I should stop taking the 90 for life for X amount of days or for while I'm doing this. There is only one answer. You never, ever stop taking your 94 life. Okay, is everyone clear on that? Okay, always, thank you. So here's the thing. Richard, you are we review applications all the time for people who would like to be on our advisory boards.
I didn't get to see yours.
Well, either did Michigan or Thunderbird. But anyways, in saying that, we review these. What is the importance of our advisory boards? How do they play into what we do with our science and with our formulations and things like that? Why is it important to even have them?
Well, I want to answer your question, but I want to answer it really quick because I want to get on a soapbox too.
Of course you guys do.
Whenever you have an advisory board, you don't want to have an advisory board that everyone's in the same line and thinking the same way. You want your advisory board to have different views at looking at things. Because even though Dr. Wallach's view is 355 degrees, there's probably 5 degrees right behind his head that we can pick up on, right? And make a suggestion, and then he can turn his head, and then he goes, yes, I agree with you, right? Along with Dr. Gerhard Schrauser. But when you start to look at the combination of the individuals we have, their backgrounds, you know, we have university professors, we have practitioners, we have chemists, we have sports medicine experts, just a wide variety of different people that have looked at problems in different ways to come out with a common result that works. So that kind of answers that question.
Yep, and now your soapbox.
Now my soapbox. Okay, so we're becoming a large family now. And I've been doing a lot of reading and studying.
I'm not doing that, by the way, because I know that's what you're thinking.
I've been doing a lot of reading and studying, and part of it is against the FDA and things like that, and GMO. ConAgra just announced that they have developed a GMO potato that won't turn brown for 3 weeks after harvesting. Apples as well? Is there a new apple out there? They're modifying this, and we talk about biblical references.
We're changing what God wants us to do, and it's wrong.
Okay, it's working again. So here's the deal, and some of people always ask, why is this the case? The food czar of the FDA is the former senior vice president of a company called Monsanto. The director of relations of the EPA is a former senior vice president of Monsanto. The government and Monsanto love each other so much because Monsanto averages $6.7 million a year over the last 10 years in lobbyists to just Congress and Senate. Break the numbers down on how much we're talking about. We as individuals have to have a common voice to say no. You guys are now getting to have that voice. Now, I'm gonna throw one voice. McDonald's is gonna refuse to buy the potato. Now, I don't have any really love for McDonald's, but I applaud them for outright saying this before it ever comes out. If in your state there's laws about GMO labeling, even though some of them may not be written the best, I absolutely will guarantee Monsanto is spending millions in lies to tell you not to pass it. I applaud Vermont for doing it. So take care of your health. Get multiple visions, different directions, like we do on our scientific board, and don't let the government tell you what you need to do for your body. Let yourself tell, because it's what inside is what counts.